to a special Brewery Society Beers episode of Brutal Battle. Yes, so this is yet another special format that I wanted to start doing. I've been thinking about doing this for a little bit, and a lot of these will probably be solo, just me doing it, but I'm sure Rebecca will end up joining me for a few of them. So I am part of one of the society tiers for The Brewery, which is the brewery out of Placentia, California, spelled B-R-U-E-R-Y. And they have three different levels. There's Preservation Society, Reserve Society, and Hoarder Society. Not going to go into too much about those right now, but as I put more of these episodes out, I will talk a little bit more about the societies and how they work and different aspects of them. So I'm in the middle tier one, the Reserve Society. And with these societies, there are exclusive beers that are available for those members. With the Preservation Society, a lot of people can get into that. Reserve Society, it's a little more restrictive with how many spaces they have available. And the Hoarder Society is super exclusive. You have to be invited. So I assume I will never end up there. But anyway, some of these beers that are going to be on these episodes are beers that were exclusively done for the different tiers of societies. And some of them will actually be ones that, as a society member, I got a first crack at, but they're also then became available to the public. So it'll kind of be a mix of those types of beers. The other thing about this is, the reason I'm doing this is I'm passionate about this society. I really like it. The brewery does an amazing job with coming out with so many different types of beers and the flavor combinations. A lot of times you'll be like, huh, that's a lot. And how is that going to work? And then you try it and you're just like, whoa, it works. And it's crazy. Because keep in mind, Patrick Rue, the head brewer, I think he still goes by head brewer, but CEO and founder of the brewery, is a master Cicerone. So this guy knows his stuff when it comes to beer. There are not a ton of master Cicerones out there. Very few. So just think about that. Anyway, the way I'm going to do these, I'm going to end up doing one or two of these beers at a time. A lot of the time because they're very high alcohol. Not all of them, but a good amount of the ones that I end up getting are high alcohol. So, and it's a mix. I'm in the group where you get some sour beers or you get some straight barrel-aged beers. So it's going to be a mixture of those. But I'll be kind of all over the place. So, the first two. Oh, and I'm going to do four per episode. I'm sorry. I'm going to do four per episode. So however long that ends up taking me, I'll just end up, you know, throwing the episode out on a weekend here or there. Not as an additional, but as a regular episode, but it'll just depend when I get it done. It might take me four separate times if I'm doing one beer per, or it might take me two if I'm doing two per, or however. So, but I'll just edit it all together so it sounds cohesive. Anyway, the first beer for the first Brewery Society episode is one that I believe was exclusive to the Society, to the Reserve Society, and Hoarders. People in the Hoarder Society often get access to everything, pretty much. So this one is called Wee Heavy Coconuts, and it is a bourbon barrel-aged Scotch-style Wee Heavy Ale with toasted coconut, walnuts, and cinnamon. And it is 12.5% alcohol, and it is in a 16-ounce can, which I need to say that for a long time, the brewery was not doing cans at all. So they were doing pretty much only 750-milliliter bottles, and that got to be a bit of a problem just because, you know, super high ABV beer, something like Black Tuesday is almost 20% alcohol. Do you really want to be buying 750-milliliters of that, or would you rather buy more of like 16-ounce cans or 375-milliliter bottles? So very happy they're doing this now. Anyway, the Wee Heavy Coconuts, gonna pop it and pour some. All right. And two reasons I really wanted to get this beer. Hear that nice pour. Two reasons I really wanted to get this beer. One, it has coconuts in it. I like coconuts. Rebecca loves coconuts. So I'm always looking on the lookout for coconut beers. The other thing is Wee Heavy, Scotch ales, I mean, those things are barely ever done. So when you see a good reputable brewery who you know can handle that style, you're going to, or when I say you, I mean me, I'm going to jump on it. I'm definitely going to jump on it. I love Scotch ales. I love Wee Heavies, all about it. Excuse me. So also the brewery does typically an excellent job with barrel aging stuff. So excited about that. So the color on this, it's actually pretty hazy. It doesn't look super filtered. It's very brown, but it's kind of like a light brown, almost like a beige-ish brown. It's not much of a head on top, which, you know, doesn't surprise me all that much at 12.5%. Let me smell it. Ooh. Actually, I do smell a little bit of the coconut. I'm surprised with that. Probably because it's toasted, kind of makes it stand out a little more. I do get the coconut. I get like a caramel mixed with a little bit of a brown sugar. I get like a nice roasty malt note in there and a wood character that I'm assuming is coming from the barrels and an overall like bourbony smell, you know, like vanilla, caramel, the wood, that's all coming from that bourbon barrel aging. And then more of like the caramel mixed with, the brown sugar is more from the actual wee heavy itself. And then those coconuts kind of laying on top of everything. I like that smell. There's almost a little bit of like a fruity, like light fruitiness in the nose as well. It's like a tad bit sugary. Trying to see what that like slight sugariness is. Maybe like a, or I'm fruitiness, I mean. Maybe like a slight like fig in there. Yeah, like a slight fig, maybe. Huh, smells really good. I'm going in. Oh. So I wasn't really smelling the cinnamon, but I taste the cinnamon right off the bat. Definitely get a lot of cinnamon in there. Well, not a lot, actually, but a decent amount. You definitely know it's there. Mm-hmm. So when I was saying I was smelling some sort of fruit and I nailed it as like a fig. I do taste that in the actual beer. Feeling like I'm getting some caramel in there with that sweet, kind of brown sugar. Sorry for if there's piano music in the background. Maybe it'll be a nice soundtrack. That's townhouse living. Anyway, the flavor, decent toasted coconut on there, decent amount of cinnamon. Those are two things that really hit. There's a sweetness that's like a brown sugar and a caramel. You definitely get the bourbon sweetness in there. You get that barrel character. It tastes kind of wood-driven. Yeah, and a little vanilla-y. And with the wood, actually the walnut is kind of mixing in there. Now, I'm not sure that if I didn't know there were walnuts in this, I'm not sure I'd be able to pick that out. But since I know it, I can definitely see it, and it's playing really well with the wood character in there. So overall, yeah, this is very, this is nice. I really like this, and it's super, super smooth, especially for being a spirit barrel-aged beer. It doesn't taste like 12.5%. It tastes like maybe 9.5, which is dangerous, although I can feel it kind of warming a little bit as I take more sips. But that's pretty excellent. I'm very happy with that. And if you know me, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, the cinnamon, like any sort of spices in a beer can really kind of put me off. And the level of this is not such that it would do that. It actually is kind of perfect for where I like a spice like that in a beer. So the next beer, hopefully I don't have too much of a problem with this because it's got a wax top. That's another thing, is a lot of these brewery beers end up having wax tops to them, and they can be a real pain to get open. But this particular opener I have a lot of times will do a good job, and it just did. So I got that top off. Now let me tell you about this beer. This one is in a 375 milliliter bottle. Oh, and both these beers are 2019 releases anyway. So just so you know, these are pretty recent. So this one in the 375 milliliter is one of their sour beers by their sour arm brewery, Taru, and it's their S'more Bubbles, which is a sour stout and imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels with marshmallow, cacao, graham cracker, and vanilla added, which sounds amazing. And it's 16.2% alcohol. So let me go ahead and pour a little bit of that. Obviously, this one's heavy hitter, significantly more alcohol driven, I'm sure. All right, so I mean, it looks like an Imperial Stout. It's very, very dark. Can't see through it. I can see a little bit of like brown, reddish brown around the edges. And there is a decent head on top as I poured it. Just kind of like a thin, thin, medium thinnish head that's pretty beige. Just want to see if I can hear that music. Editing, Carlin. Okay, now for the smell of this one. Oh, okay. So I get a lot of like a dark chocolate definitely coming off of there. I get that kind of like bready graham cracker note, and it smells kind of buttery, but not like a diacetyl butter, just like a graham cracker butteriness. I can't smell any marshmallow necessarily. Although I do smell some vanilla. Wait, is there vanilla? Yeah, there is vanilla added. So I feel like the marshmallow and the vanilla are kind of going to play in the same area. Like, you're not going to be able to discern marshmallow from vanilla, at least in the smell. It doesn't really smell sour to me because there's so much dark chocolate in the nose and that graham cracker. I mean, if you put this in front of me and you had me just sniff it, I would not be able to tell you that this is at all sour. But we'll have to see when it comes to the taste. As far as the barrel aging goes, I definitely get a bourbon character on the nose. There's a bit of a caramel coming through. I wouldn't say it's... Well, yeah, a slight woodiness, actually. But that's kind of mixing a little bit with the graham cracker. But yeah, definitely you can smell bourbon. Smells like it's got that sweetness from bourbon. This smells really good. And it doesn't smell tart at all or sour. Let's try it. Huh, okay. So the sourness is there, but it's super, super slight, and it's on the very, very end. This definitely has, like, a creamy marshmallowiness to it on the very first sip. It's like creamy marshmallow up front, and then it finishes with that sourness, which actually kind of makes that body dissipate, and the creaminess kind of goes away because of the little bit of a sharpness on the end. Lots of chocolate. It is very much dark chocolate driven, like I was saying the nose is. I don't know if I'm so much getting that graham cracker. I get a little bit, and it's kind of mainly just coming off from the, like, that butteriness I was saying that I was smelling. Definitely get the bourbon. It's like caramel. It's like vanilla. It's just that bourbon character and sweetness to go along with it. Yeah, it's got a very nice body to it. Would I say it's 16.2? Once again, probably not. Although, as I continue to sip it, I feel like I am getting a little bit more of the sourness on the end. It builds a little bit. But this is very nice. It's very deceptive alcohol-wise. And, I think I like both these beers quite a bit. I think I'd say I like the S'more Bubbles a little bit more than the Wee Heavy at the moment. But they're both outstanding. And the biggest thing that sticks out to me is how smooth and how deceptive they are as far as the alcohol goes and what you can perceive. So on to the next of the brewery beers. So this next one is in a 16-ounce can, and it is yet another barrel-aged beer by the brewery. This is a bourbon barrel-aged wheat wine style ale with boysenberry and vanilla. And it's called Atta Boysenberry, and it's actually got a really cute, cool design on it. It's like a cartoonish bear holding a sign that says Atta Boysenberry, and he's kind of biting it, and the sign shape is like the shape of a boysenberry. So this is 13.8% alcohol, which, you know, to be expected, it's going to be high with the brewery. The other thing to note before I get into this is that wheat wines and me don't have the best of relationships. I've had I've had an okay amount of wheat wines in my day and haven't liked that many. So we'll see. This might not go well and might just be a preferential thing. I don't know. But sounded interesting, sounded good. So I'm giving it a shot. Get this thing poured. Oh, man. Well, you can tell there's some boysenberry in there. That's for sure. Just right off the pour. It is very, like, reddish, purplish color. Yeah, and it's got like a nice kind of pinkish head that's sitting on top from the agitated pour. Can't see through it. It looks very, very murky. Ooh, okay. Definitely get the vanilla in there. Definitely get a lot of the bourbon character in there. Smells wheat-like because of the wheat wine. You can tell there's like a light fruitiness, but I don't really think you'd be able to pick it out as boysenberry. The other thing is, how often does anyone have boysenberries? I don't have them all that often, so not sure I'd be able to like call that out and be like, oh, that's a boysenberry. So I assume they're kind of blackberry-ish in nature. It smells like, I don't know if it's coming from the boysenberry or if it's coming from the barrel aging, like from the wood from the barrel, but it smells a little tannic. You know, like when you get those little strings from bananas, like that kind of bitterness that dries out your mouth, that is tannins. Also, you get that from like red wine. So I smell something kind of like that. But yeah, there's like a faint fruitiness, but it's mainly bourbon character, that wheat, vanilla. So yeah, going in. Oh, definitely taste the boysenberry. The boysenberry is really, really there. It gives this really cool kind of fruit punch. Not like it tastes like fruit punch, but it's like a kick of fruit that hits your palate like immediately. It's the first thing that I get when I sip it. Hmm. It's also creamy. I think that vanilla is giving it a nice creaminess. Yeah, actually, I like this quite a bit. This is one of those kind of home run wheat wines for me, which is not common at all. I think the addition of the vanilla and the boysenberry, obviously, is really making this work for me. So it's kind of coming off as like a little bit of like a smoothie in a sense. I know people have done like milkshake IPAs and smoothie beers and stuff like that, but this kind of reminds me of a different type of kind of like a smoothie beer because it's got that fruit with that vanilla that makes it kind of creamy, and I like it. And the alcohol, you can tell the alcohol is high because there is a bit of a burn that sits in the back of my throat, but it's not out of kilter. Yeah, and you can definitely taste the barrel character, but it's kind of underneath the boysenberry and the vanilla flavors. So the boysenberry and vanilla are the stars of this, which is awesome. And then comes in the kind of weedy flavors and the bourbon on the finish. And yeah, this is nice. So on to the fourth and final beer. And rounding it out is yet another barrel-aged beer. I swear that when I do this in future episodes, it's not going to be all barrel-aged beers necessarily. Because there are some sours that aren't, well, and when I say barrel-aged, I mean like spirit barrel. So there are some sours that are kind of done in fooders that don't have a spirit barrel character, but you know, there'll be a lot of stuff in the future with these. And honestly, as I've been doing these, I did the Wee Heavy Coconuts and the S'more Bubbles at the same time. Then I did the Atta Boysenberry on its own. And now I'm doing this one on its own. But down the line, since I can just keep doing it like this and put this episode together piecemeal, then I'll be able to just keep putting out episodes here and there. So I look forward to doing it, and I hope you do too. So the last beer here is called Churiosity. It is an imperial stout brewed with lactose and dulce de leche, aged in bourbon barrels and cinnamon whiskey barrels with cinnamon added. And it is 14.2% alcohol by volume. And this is one that's supposed to kind of be like a churro. Obviously, by the name Churiosity and all the ingredients you heard, it's supposed to be very much like a churro. And this was done in collaboration with Horace Aged Ales, I believe is what they're called. I've had one of their beers. I had it when we were in Portland, Maine. The Horace Brewery, that is. Okay, here we go. I'm going to assume that this will look like an Imperial Stout. Yes, as it's being poured. Super dark. Can't really see much. It's got a nice big brown head to it as I poured it kind of agitated. Ooh, okay. Get a lot of the cinnamon on the nose. Backed up with a little bit of that dulce de leche that's coming off like a nice soft caramel. I assume that's kind of mixing with the lactose to make it even more kind of like creamy and soft. And then there's that kind of sweet whiskey note coming through with some alcohol bite in the nose. It smells really smooth. It smells kind of creamy, very chocolatey, caramelly, cinnamony. If you like cinnamon, you'll definitely like this. And actually, this is kind of funny because they don't really do cinnamon in a ton of their beers, but the Wee Heavy Coconuts had cinnamon, and here we are with the Curiosity, also with cinnamon. Okay, going in for a sip. Yep. You can definitely taste that cinnamon, but it's not crazy overpowering. It might not be my favorite just because if you listen to the podcast enough, you know I'm not huge on a lot of spices, and I may have actually said that when I was doing the Wee Heavy Coconuts, but I'm not huge on cinnamon, but sometimes it's pretty decent. I feel like in this, it's employed pretty well. I like how soft the mouthfeel is in this beer, and I feel like the lactose is really kind of rounding off the alcohol finish of it, whereas without the lactose, I kind of feel like you'd get more of an alcoholic whiskey bite to it. I'm getting the flavor of the whiskey and a little bit of that kind of barrel character, but it's mixing really, really well and non-harshly with the caramel, the cinnamon, and some like milk chocolate notes. Although you can definitely tell as it just kind of like burns a little bit in the back of my throat. Well, I wouldn't say burns it. It's like very warming in the back of my throat. So you can tell that it's high ABV. And as you continue to sip, I feel like the cinnamon becomes stronger. So for me, it's not like my favorite for that reason, but I like it. And that's really saying something since I'm not huge on cinnamon. So for it to be increasing in cinnamon and me actually enjoying it, that's a pretty big deal. Anyway, so I quite like this. It is good. It's not my favorite though. So I'll, like we normally do with episodes, I'm going to go ahead. I have all the empties in front of me plus this one, and I'll just go ahead and rank them in my opinion. How good did I think these were? These were all really good. Man, this is where it becomes very, very problematic to rank them. But I have hindsight being 2020 on all these beers because I actually was able to finish them, except for this Curiosity. But I will say that my ranking is the number 4, as people can probably guess, is the Curiosity. Once again, that's the Imperial Stout brewed with lactose and dulce de leche, aged in bourbon and cinnamon whiskey barrels with cinnamon added. My number 3 beer, still an outstanding beer, and honestly, I would really like this, and I was very surprised by this, the Atta Boysenberry, which once again is a bourbon barrel-aged wheat wine-style ale with boysenberry and vanilla. That was really nice, and like I said, I have a checkered history with wheat wines, but that did me right. My number 2, I think I'm going to go with the S'more Bubbles. I really like the S'more Bubbles as well. Once again, a sour stout and imperial stout aged in bourbon barrels with marshmallow, cacao, graham cracker, and vanilla added. That one was very dessert-like and tasty. And then my number 1 has got to be the Wee Heavy Coconuts. Once again, a bourbon barrel-aged Scotch-style Wee Heavy Ale with toasted coconut, walnuts, and cinnamon. And I will say that after I was drinking the rest of this after I had recorded, that the walnut flavor kept growing as I kept drinking it, and that was really nice. And I think it kind of like took the cinnamon down quite a bit. The other thing is, how many Wee Heavies are out there? And this is an outstanding Wee Heavy, so awesome. Anyway, thank you everyone for checking this episode out. Like I said, I will be releasing more of these episodes kind of as I get them finished and I see a proper spot to kind of put them in on a weekend, on a Sunday morning when they're available, but I'm going to be hitting a lot of different stuff. You know, it's not just spirit barrel aged things. I'm going to have some sour stuff. I'm going to have some funky stuff. I'm going to have some aged stuff. I have some brewery beers sitting in my cellar that are years old. So I'm talking some of the big stuff. I have some old Black Tuesdays. I think I have some old Mocha Wednesday. I don't know if I have any Green Monday at the moment, but you know, stuff like that. So I'll be bringing out some very well archived stuff and some newer stuff, and I'm excited to see where this goes, and I hope you are too. So anyway, thanks everyone for checking this out once again, and until next time, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.